The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And welcome to the weekend. The NCAA tournament well underway, and we appreciate all of you for popping over here from the end of two SEC games, both in favor of the conference, and we'll talk about all of that today. It's been a very eventful day, and let's see what's going on with the Gators, and give Mike White credit. He sat Omar Payne today after all that controversy. I don't know if anyone told him he had to. He just chose to do so. And he took a risk, and throughout the game, it was pretty scary. Gators down early. Gators had it wrapped up. Gators at the line with three free throws with a three-shot lead. They missed all three, and then Tech made the three-pointer with 1.5 seconds to go. But the Gators prevailed in overtime and will move on, presumably, to play Ohio State on Sunday, the number one seed from that regional. What about the Razorbacks? They were down early. Everyone writing their obituary in a big game against Colgate. There were a few people that picked Colgate to win. The Razorbacks down nearly double digit early in the game and finally got it going. Colgate played extremely well, give them credit. But the Razorbacks have just punched a ticket to the next round as expected, 85-68. And meanwhile, the Crimson Tide won't play until tomorrow, but we'll be talking plenty about them this afternoon when Nate Oates joins the program in a couple of hours, live from Indianapolis. The Crimson Tide, of course, trying to get to the Final Four for the first time. They have made it to the Elite Eight. That was a number of years ago against Connecticut when Mark Gottfried was the coach. We'll take a look at everyone else as well, with LSU taking on the Bonnies tomorrow at 1:45. Alabama's game is at 4 Eastern. And then tomorrow night, Missouri trying to take advantage of a shorthanded Oklahoma team, losing one of its best players due to a COVID positive test. Those are the three games later today. Nate Oates will join us in a little bit later, as I mentioned, and we certainly look forward to visiting with him. On the women's side, there is some controversy over unequal accommodations, amenities. It's even gone so far as the men are getting a PCR test, the women are getting antigen tests. You go figure it out, but the NCAA has some explaining to do. Ross Bjork tweeting a minute ago that the Aggies have begun practice. I appreciate the NCAA women's staff working on a solution that is unacceptable to begin with. No one in athletics would have thought this was appropriate if someone had been consulted. Pretty major embarrassment that the women are being treated worse than the men. I mean, it's just inconceivable to think about that in today's world, but that's where we are. Anyway. We've given you the updates. The two SEC games have gone final. Tennessee yet to play. They will tip off in about an hour and a half, and we'll keep you posted on that game throughout the afternoon. I realize people are watching basketball. We certainly understand that. If you're listening on the radio, we will certainly update you continually, knowing that you may not have as easy access to scores. But of the scores that matter, we have given you the two finals. We'll update you on all the games throughout the day. We appreciate you being here because we have a lot to do. And I mentioned Nate Oates will be among the guests joining us. Also, Dane Bradshaw from the SEC Network, the former Tennessee player, will give us a preview of what the Vols have to do. Football camps are opening today, including Alabama. Barrett Salee will drop by 2 hours away from Nate Oates. Stephen M. Smith on the Alabama first practice. And Adam Rittenberg live from Indianapolis. He'll give us the latest on that. It's been a very busy week on the program, and we always try to look back and tell you if you missed some of the shows. So we have a couple of highlights we'll play for you. Then we'll get to your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Seth Greenberg was one of our featured guests this week, talking about what several teams have to do to get to the Final Four.
Yeah, I call that the champions bracket. When you think about that bracket, I mean, you've got Alabama that won their conference tournament. Obviously, you got Texas that won theirs. You got Georgetown who won theirs. You got St. Bonaventure who won theirs. And then you got runner-ups. You got, like, you know, LSU and Florida State. So, I mean, that's by far the most difficult bracket for the number one seed to advance. Different styles of play, teams that are on a roll, teams that like I said, doors open for Alabama. It might even be open for LSU. I mean, LSU offensively, Paul, they got three dudes. Like, if you were counting dudes, like, LSU has three guys that on any given night at the same time could drop 20 or 25. If they're committed defensively, they are really, really, really dangerous. So, you know, I look at this, that bracket, I think it's the best bracket in the tournament. I think it's one that will create the most compelling matchups and the most compelling games.
Seth Greenberg earlier in the week. Jay Billis joined us yesterday, helping us all get ready for the NCAA tournament. He also had some very strong comments about where the NCAA is going on a number of issues.
It's pretty clear why we're doing it. I mean, I had a discussion with somebody the other day, a good friend, and we talked about, you know, sort of the idea about what the NCAA says about that. They keep calling kids. They say the kids want to play, you know, as if the whole thing's driving from what kids want to do. And I asked, I said, that, you know, other students love what they do every bit as much as an athlete loves what he or she does. And I said, what other person other than an athlete has a college or university put on an airplane for a university activity in the last year? And I think the answer is nobody. There's no other student that they put on an airplane to go do what they love to do. It's only athletes. And it's obvious why. It's for money.
Konzo Martin also joined us this week, the Missouri head coach. It was somewhat to talk about the Oklahoma game, but we also had a conversation with him about a trip that he made recently when he was in Alabama, taking his team to a civil rights museum in Montgomery, Alabama.
But to help them understand history, because when you're talking Black history, African history, whichever one you want to call it, it's American history. It's a part of our history, and it seems like we continue to dodge that, not necessarily talk about it, but it's a part of American history. And we can only move forward if we talk about it. Yes, it'll be uncomfortable, but we have to talk about it in order to push forward. The same way as coaches, we coach our athletes to be great athletes. You have to get uncomfortable in the weight room in order to go from 190 pounds to 200 pounds. You have to lift weights and get strong. You have to work on your shot. If you can't shoot to become a better shooter, it's uncomfortable. So we have to talk life history in order for us to move forward.
At the beginning of the week, we went retro with Jack Gibbons, one of the great players in Kentucky history, reminiscing about the 1978 national championship.
Nothing short of winning a championship would get it done that year. So Coach Hall did a great job of deflecting. He accepted all of the criticism, all of the national criticism. He shielded the players and would not allow us to have to get into the banter back and forth with the media. The fact of the matter is the fun was in winning games. I mean, there's a whole lot of fun in going 30-2. So that's what we had in mind. That's what we wanted to do. And we weren't going to take anything less than that as players in need of a national championship.
In addition to updating you on what is going on, what has been going on, we mentioned Florida wins 75-70, and some of the Gators right now are reacting afterwards.
And just get them out of rhythm a little bit. But as a team, we did a great job, and you know, we went over the scouting report many times.
Thank you. The next question comes from John Romano of the Tampa Bay Times. John, your line is open.
Hey, Colin, could you just talk about the tenacity that it took to win that game? You guys had players going down with injuries. You lost players to fouls. You were behind for like 30 minutes, a 130-minute stretch. Just what did it feel like throughout that game?
Just we weren't losing the game. I mean, that's just what it comes down to. You got to have a mindset of just we're not losing this game. We don't want to go back to Florida just yet. You just got to keep pushing, keep fighting. This is what practicing, you know, the preseason conditioning, all that stuff, you got to just fight through it. And it's what we prepare for. You know, it's March Madness, and everybody's got to be ready. Niles came in. He played great on defense. You know, they tried to go at him, and he got to stop. And that's big for us, having, you know, guys come in and be confident. That's huge, especially in tournaments like this, because you never know what's going to happen. Tyree went down. Two guys fouled out. But, you know, we stayed resilient, and we pushed through it. So.
Thank you. The next question is from Mike Bianchi. Mike, your line is open.
Yeah, Colin, congratulations. Along that same sort of line, can you just, what does it mean for this team to, all you've gutted through this season, all you've endured, to come out and win a game like this in overtime?
It just shows who we are as a team, our character. You know, we've went through a lot of other stuff off the court. And in this game today, we went through a lot of stuff on the court, whether that's, you know, missed free throws, turnovers. I had a sloppy turnover at the end of the game. Just fighting through adversity, that's been our motto the whole year. Coach White, he's done a tremendous job preaching it to us, and we've all had a good mindset. You know, there's obviously days where you might get down about certain things and worry about stuff that we shouldn't worry about, but, you know, at the end of the day, we just try to push through it as best as possible. And that's credit to the coaches. They preach it to us every day, and they instill that in us that, you know, whatever happens, you got to fight through adversity, because not just in basketball, this is going to happen our whole life. So being able to push through that is going to teach us a lot of great lessons.
Thank you. Our next question is from Maddie from ESPN. Maddie, I believe you're still muted.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, Colin, you hit a huge pair of free throws to give the Gators their first lead with under five to go. You and Trey both stepped up today. How are you going to keep that going heading into the next round?
Just being consistent, like I said, with other questions, just mindset, knowing that it's win or go home, just giving it your all, and just being confident in myself. That's what I've done this whole year. I've been through stretches where I haven't been as confident as I needed to be, but I'm able to bounce back and just continue to be confident. And Trey brings it every game. He's been playing tremendously. So we just got to get that out of everybody, and just not me or him. Just everybody's got to play confident, be ready when your name gets called, and just stay poised.
So that's where we've been all day. We're going to get some reaction to all that when Dane Bradshaw joins us, the former Tennessee player, now SEC Network analyst. He will be with us right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
So final score again, for those of you just joining us, the Gators survive, and I mean survive. They had the game won in regulation. It went to overtime, and then they prevailed 75-70. They'll move on, presumably, to take on Ohio State, the number two seed in the South. And that game, of course, will be on Sunday. Mike White, we've heard from some of the players already. We heard from Musselman. Mike White, the Florida coach, afterwards.
Toughness. Today, down the stretch, he's, you know, for the first time in his defense, he's become more of a focal point with other teams' scouting reports. We have some of the best defenses in the country in the SEC, which again is the third-ranked conference in the country, the best that's ever been. And down the stretch, I just thought that he was getting beat up a little bit. I didn't think we did a great job getting him the ball. I didn't think he was playing great either. You know, it's all of us. I've got to do a better job with him, trying to get him going. Today he got going. His teammates were really good with some interior passing. I thought that he had a couple offensive rebounds too that helped him. And then once he got his mojo going a little bit, from that point on, I saw a different player than we've seen the last couple weeks.
Our next question comes from Mike Bianchi from the Orlando Sentinel. Mike, your line is open.
Coach, congratulations. How difficult was it to sit Omar Payne during such an important game? And what did you tell him? And was this one of those teaching moments?
Yeah, definitely a teaching moment, Mike. It's just, it wasn't overly difficult. It's difficult that he can't play, obviously, but, you know, it was the right thing to do. That's it. Omar handled it like a champ. Omar's very remorseful. We all make mistakes. He's a great young man. And we were able to overcome, fortunately, without him, who I thought could have obviously helped us in a lot of ways today.
Next question comes from David Whitley. David, your line is now open. David, I think you're on mute.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
What is the Omar status for the next game, the rest of the tournament? And is there any sort of agreement with Tennessee that he will sit out as
much? I can't hear. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Wondering about Omar Payne and what his status is for the rest of the tournament.
Oh, I got you. We hadn't got there yet. Just as we didn't talk about it, it's an in-house situation leading into this game. I'm not going to talk about it leading into the next one.
All right. Well, can I follow up? Is there any agreement with Tennessee that he will sit out as long as Fulkerson is out?
No.
Okay.
Our next question comes from Gene Frenetti. Your line is now open.
Mike, can you hear me?
Hey, Gene.
Hey. After the Tennessee game in the SEC, you talked about how afterwards about how this team weren't sure they had the emotional maturity on the court, not off the court, but on the court. Well, then you turn around and look at this game today. Omar's out. You lose Appleby. You know, and it wasn't, and you lost him for a long, long stretch of time. You're trailing for about 30 minutes of the game. Would you say that today that they did have the emotional maturity on the court?
Gene, I thought we took a step in the right direction, but I would consider that more mental toughness and resiliency. There's still some immature moments, too much celebration early. I thought we got a little bit tired. You know, 5-10 minutes into the game, we made some big plays early, and we were so juiced up. And despite the fact that for the last 48 hours, we talk about how the in the NCAA tournament, when it's do or die, any high-level games, obviously, but especially the NCAA tournament, we cannot be emotional. We got to play with emotions. We make a big play. Let's celebrate the play. Let's have some poise. Let's move on. We have to move on to the next play. There are 1,000 plays in a basketball game. And I thought we got really emotional early on, a little bit too hyped up. I thought it made us a little bit tired, led to some poor decisions defensively. And then even late second half, you know, I see smiles on faces as we should be in a huddle talking about what we should be doing the next play. And did we take a step? Yes, for sure. But this team, like all teams, need to learn how to continue to be more consistent with their focus, with their poise, with their controlling of emotions. And obviously that'll help us moving forward.
So that we've been listening to a number of coaches and players. We'll get some reaction and your phone calls as well. We haven't forgotten you. I apologize for not having gotten to you sooner. 855-722-7285. And Dane Bradshaw will give us his reaction to the first two games right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we are back, and it's great to have all of you here. It's been a busy 30 minutes updating you on the two games already. Final, Arkansas winning, and Florida in overtime. We'll get some reaction to that. Also, preview a game an hour from now. That's Tennessee taking on Oregon State. Dane Bradshaw, former Tennessee player, now SEC Network analyst. Dane, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it. It's been a busy day, and let's start, as we say hello to you, on the Florida game. What did you see, and what does it tell you about their prospects coming up?
Terrific resiliency by the Gators. So impressed with how they handled everything coming into the game. Hats off to Mike White. Look, he's bench players for missing team meetings, even when a lot's on the line. He put Omar Payne on the bench for this one, even though it was his decision on a league's deal, and they handled it well. And they fought for their teammate and for themselves. And then Appleby, their point guard, goes out. And he was getting stitches, and you didn't know if he was going to return or not. I thought the biggest thing that Florida showed, despite all of that, was the way they were able to respond in overtime. You probably were watching the game, Paul. I mean, they had this game won, up three with the ball, and DeRuji gets the rebound, their big man. And knowing the opponent wants to foul, that's when your guards have to come get the ball from your big man, who's a bad free throw shooter. And lo and behold, Virginia Tech fouls DeRuji. He misses both free throws. Virginia Tech hits the buzzer beater to send it to overtime. And that's usually where, you know, that all the momentum swings to the other team. But I thought the most important play of the whole game was the first possession overtime. DeRuji gets the ball, an emphatic and one dunk. Just to regain that momentum. I know it's only 2 points, but it was so much more than that for this Florida team to say, wait a minute, just because they made a buzzer shot to send it to overtime, that doesn't mean we're going away. I thought that was a huge play. And then, again, just them being able to fill in for their missing teammates was really impressive.
Let's peek ahead a little bit to Ohio State, we presume, on Sunday. Ohio State's been one of the best teams in the country all year long. How would you handicap that game?
From a tempo standpoint, I actually like it for Florida. Ohio State is more efficient offensively than Florida is, and a little bit more consistent. But the pace of play is very similar. Ohio State takes care of the ball much better than Florida does. So I assume Appleby will be back. You know, he had the stitches to the head. I haven't seen if they've announced anything on that. You'd like to think he plays. If Appleby plays for Florida, then I like their chances. He's going to have to take care of the basketball, because you saw the way they struggled to handle the ball, getting their offensive set against the pressure and things of that nature when he was out. So point guard play is going to be huge in that one. Ohio State is a team that is not going to beat themselves. They only turn it over 10 times a game, and so Florida's going to have to have one of their most efficient basketball games they've had all season long to pull off the upset.
Dane Bradshaw, let me get some reaction to Arkansas. And I know the Twitter sphere was in a meltdown, but you know that happens sometimes when a heavily favored team comes in. What did you learn from this game?
End of the first half, I thought, was huge for Arkansas. And it shows the type of depth the Razorbacks have. Moses Moody is the star of that team, but they don't have to overly they're not overly dependent on him. Moody picks up, I believe, his third foul towards the end of the first half on an offensive foul.
And Colgate has all the momentum, all the confidence, and it's Devo Davis, Desi Sills making some plays to get Arkansas some of the momentum right before the half that I thought was probably the biggest part of the entire game. Was they really stole all the momentum. And Justin Smith, what more can you say? The do-it-all sort of point forward, 29 points, 11 of 13 from the free throw line, 13 rebounds and 5 steals. And if there was anybody that I felt like got snubbed from the all-SEC teams, it was Justin Smith, because this guy is no question the glue to this Arkansas team and a huge reason why they were victorious today against a very well-coached Colgate team.
Dane Bradshaw with us. Dane, before we get to the Tennessee game, have you heard anything substantive on the condition of Fulkerson in terms of how he's doing?
I have not. Like you guys, I think I'm checking for the updates and everything else, but you wonder too, is it really a game time decision? Is it a strategic thing of not wanting the opponent to know if he's in or out? Because sometimes, hey, if you know that Fulkerson is out, you don't want the opponent to know that, so that they're at least having to prepare for him in the scouting report, because he is a handful down low. I'm sure Tennessee knows, but I certainly don't at this point. And I think one thing that helped them, even though after he got knocked out in that Florida game, that they've had a game to play without him. They can be competitive. They played extremely well against Alabama in the SEC tournament despite his absence. So I still like Tennessee's chances with or without Fulkerson.
You talk about strategy, but I mean, is it even conceivable based on what happened to him that he could be ready this weekend or should play?
they say let the doctors operate and plumbers fix pipes, and I'm the plumber in this situation, Paul.
Didn't he have a concussion? I mean, would you want to play a couple of days after a concussion?
For me personally, look, I would be doing all the protocols and all the testing possible as a competitor. Look, this is where your coaches and your doctors typically have to put the competitor in check, because as a player, you're always saying, I'm fine, I can get back out there. And so that's where these testing requirements, they really, weren't there, 7 to 10 years ago. I mean, they were there, but not to the extent they are now with the emphasis on concussions and passing those tests. So I think they all understand safety first type thing. But as a competitor and as a player, if I'm there knowing that this is my last go around, whatever the deadline is for me to pass this concussion protocol, if it's 5 minutes before tip, hey, get me that last test. And if I'm good, let's go. But obviously, the doctors are going to have to be the one to make that final call, not the player.
I know I'm asking you like you're his personal physician, but I'm not. But I am curious because is he even with the team? And if he isn't with it, because that's critical, because I don't think you can just walk in the arena tomorrow and play a game right now with the NCAA limitations.
I don't know about his presence with the team and travel-wise. I think I've seen photos of them on Twitter and all that stuff. But then the other part with the concussion, too, is the bright lights and the noises and things like that come with being in an arena. So, with that in mind, that's just another factor that would make it, less than likely that he plays in this game.
Okay, we are told, Dane, he is with the team. So if he is given the green light, he could play it. That is important. He's braver than I thought after what he went through the other day. In terms of Tennessee long-term in this tournament, as you look at the bracket, should they win this game as you expect them to do, what is their lifespan in this tournament?
Going into the weekend, you often talk to college coaches, and you'll hear some people or analysts say, well, they got good momentum from the way they played in the conference tournament, or the seeding's the most important, or matchup's most important. I really think Tennessee got the benefit of all three of those things. They weren't perfect in the SEC tournament, but they were really good, got their confidence back. They were able to get a 5 seed when it looked like they were starting to teeter around the 7-8-9 after they had that bad loss at Auburn. But they were able to regain that and get rewarded with a 5 seed. And then I like their matchups. They've got Oregon State. You get past this one. As good as Cade Cunningham is for Oklahoma State, if Oklahoma State prevails, you know, I thought Oklahoma State was seeded a little bit high, honestly. And so, and I think athletically, the freshman, Keon Johnson, Jaden Springer, those guys, look, they want to play against the other best freshman in the country. And so I think they'll be ready to play against the Cade Cunningham, Oklahoma State. But obviously, it's a one game at a time. The 5-12 is the classic case for the most for the upsets. So I like the way Tennessee got their draw in terms of a Sweet 16 pass.
Dane Bradshaw joining us here to give us his view on the weekend. We'll head to the break. 855-242-7285 is the number. We have not had your reaction yet to any of the games or the look ahead. We will do that when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Well, it looks like we're seeing a rerun of the Arkansas-Colgate game with the Oral Roberts-Ohio State game. Ohio State, one of the top seeds in the tournament, of course, the number two seed. And I've already asked questions about them taking on the Gators. They trail by 3 at halftime. We'll update you on that one as it begins the second half here in about 20 minutes. Let's get to the calls for the first time today. And Mike starts us off in Florida. Hello, Mike.
Oh, hey, Paul, how are you?
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
I thought that was a really gutsy effort by the Gators today, and I really applaud Mike White for sitting Omar Payne for the entire game. Mike is a good disciplinarian as a coach, and he did that with Appleby and Scotty Lewis when they showed up late for practice.
Yeah, you know, Mike, it's really interesting as we talk about the underbelly of college athletics, and no names mentioned here, of course. But Mike White stands out as a beacon of integrity and class. And how many other coaches in college basketball in this tournament would have done what he did? He didn't have to do it. Nobody forced him to. And he literally put the entire season on the brink to do the right thing, and he should be forever commended for that.
I agree. And Trey Mann and Castleton, they just played out of their minds today. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate your reaction to that. Glad to hear from you. Let's check out some more calls here. And what's up with Zach in Columbus, Ohio? Hello, Zach.
What's up, Paul? How you doing?
What's up with you?
I don't know what's up. Basketball, that's what's up.
Well, good to hear.
I just wanted to call to say what's up, Paul. That's really all I had to say, and let you know that I am the best caller on your show, even better than Cat Daddy.
Well, one thing about Cat Daddy, I mean, he's consistent. He doesn't deviate. He always brings a hearty laugh. But if you think you're the best caller on the show, I'm not going to stand in your way.
You're right. All right, Paul, you have a nice rest of your day.
So if I understand that call correctly from Zach, he basically just called to say, I am the best caller of the show. I have nothing more to add, but that takes some big ones. Let's check in with John, who is in California. Hey, John.
Hey, Paul. Great call by Zach there. Hey, I want to break away and go into the Deshaun Watson call. I'm a little disappointed that nobody seems to remember their critical thinking course in college and ask the question, who benefits by Deshaun Watson taking a fall here and standing up to the franchise as he's done here in the last 30 days? Don't you think the franchise and the owner is the one benefiting by him taking this big fall and all these people standing up all of a sudden with all these claims? The franchise and the owner has all of these investigators, and they have all these people, as do the NFL. Isn't it kind of coincidental, Paul, here?
And I know where you're coming from, First of all, you have serious allegations here, and I know you have this Machiavellian conspiracy theory, which is great if it's true, but I don't have any earthly idea if it's true. And I mean, it is interesting that in the span of a couple of days, 3 different women have come forward, but I'm not cynical
and
enough
Paul,
to think
look,
that.
Look how quickly they've come forward, Paul.
Well,
he can't even rectify his career or his reputation.
But John, this is what happens. John, this is what happens. I mean, all of a sudden you had one person come out against the governor of New York, and the next thing you know, there were six or seven. Oftentimes in this type of situation, it takes one to bring others. I don't know anything more about it than you may know a lot more about it than I am. I'm just saying, before you jump to a big conclusion that there's some conspiracy here, there could
jumping,
be.
Paul, I'm not jumping. I'm just.
You're
saying,
not jumping.
Isn't it funny that not one sportcaster has even looked in the other direction? I mean, they're afraid of the machine, the NFL.
Well, no. Listen. I'm going to agree with you on that.
Have you heard one sportscaster look the other way and say, wait a minute, this looks a little too convenient? No, not one sportscaster.
I have not, John, I'll be honest, I have not paid a bit of attention to this story other than in reading about it.
Okay.
This time of the year, I take time out from the NFL Gabfest.
Well, I just look at who benefits, and wow.
No, you're
like
right about that. You're right.
He stepped out of line with the owner, and now the owner looks to be the big benefiting party in this whole deal.
I have not watched any, including my, I have not watched any of the coverage. What are the talking heads saying?
Well, they're saying that his value has just plummeted to about a third of what it would have if he went somewhere else. And every one of the parties that's would have bid on him are saying, well, wait a minute. Now they're all reassessing his value. So what does that say? He'll be worth a fraction of what he would have been worth if, in fact, he can even prove his innocence. And they say he can't do it in time for the draft. Even an investigation will take, you know, to way after the draft before he would be able to prove his innocence if, in fact, he can. So it's really unfair for the guy. I hate to see it just because he was controversial with the owner and with the team. I mean, I don't want to see him if he is guilty, but I want to see him get a fair shake just because he was outspoken with his team. So,
okay, I hear you. Hey, John, it's an interesting topic. I will not deny that. Hey, thank you for the call. Trey is up next. Hey, Trey.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you today?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Hey, I want to clear up something from yesterday, as I may. I want you to know that I wasn't complaining about the times of the games. I guess it was more of a question. My question was, why put the best of the first four on Sunday?
I'm glad we could clear that up.
I mean, my question was to you, was it because UCLA was from the West Coast, the reason they put them on so late? Yeah, I'm not upset about the times at all. But the guy just said, who benefits from the Deshaun Watson situation? And I don't know what's going on either. It is strange. But if all this is true, then the victims are the ones who benefit the most. If it's true, and I'm not saying it is. I don't jump and judge. And I want to say congratulations to Arkansas and Florida, and hats off to Mike White. And you have a great weekend. I'm going to go get another blue moon, if that's okay with you, Paul.
Have one for me too, Trey. We'll take a break. The weekend has clearly arrived. It is the first big day of the NCAA basketball tournament. We will update you. More of your phone calls right around the corner at 855-242-7285.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.